It's very clear to a visitor, even for this short amount of time of 8 days, to see that the research activities are tantamount, that they're very busy in researching and in modifying and correcting some of those errors of the past.
It is. Also having communities living here, it is giving the chance to have a unique generation of children.
Mm-hmm.
They are growing in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
But to have the opportunity to give the Galapagos people opportunity to educate their children, opportunity to learn the good stuff that our modern world is giving us in order to protect and to manage the national park and the marine reserve in a proper way, it is necessary money as well. You cannot send your children to the best universities if you don't have money. At least if you to go out of the Galapagos, you need to pay your flight.
Well, that brings me to the next question, really, tourism and what your opinion is, and do you think it is being managed properly now, or what changes do you see?
Yes, the National Park has been doing a great job. But now we are going into a different time, a different level. For many years, the model of the cruises was the only way to come to Galapagos. But a few years ago, we started to have this new model of land-based tours. Economically, the land-based tours are giving the opportunity to the families of the Galapagos Islands to get some income, to have a better quality of life, and to have the opportunity to get good education and even health service as well. The only thing is that we should do all of these activities in a proper way. It should be a well-managed tourism, and that is happening. We do have a Galapagos special law. We have the local council of the province that does take the proper decisions. We do work with communities. We need to support more the land-based model, again, in a proper way, with good regulations, with professionals working on it. And I do consider that one of these alternatives is GalaKiwi. It's the agency that I know, like, since I started guiding, really, like 11 years ago. And GalaKiwi is a nice name, because the owner, Tim, he's from New Zealand, he's a Kiwi. And Gala Galapagos, so GalaKiwi. And they always say it's Galapagos adventure, Kiwi spirit.
Yeah.
I do say it's Galapagos spirit, Kiwi spirit. It's the real, the true spirit that you will find. Anybody in our planet that loves nature will have this soul, this spirit, this love for what we have here.
Well, that's exactly right. I think the bringing the land-based model, it was new to me. I hadn't really thought about it or read about it as it applies to the Galapagos. And my hope is that it's not only bringing the money to the local communities, but really elevating the awareness of all of the needs of the Galapagos, the people and the wildlife, and the proper approach to all of that. So thank you.
Definitely, Chris, it has been a pleasure. And like I say, all of you that are listening, you have this special love for nature, just keep loving it and keep sharing this love that you have inside, because that's how we're going to help to have a better world.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Pablo.
A pleasure, Chris.
Would you say that the trip to the Galapagos is really something for people interested in active travel rather than, you know, being a passive observer sitting around?
I think to see it well, yes, you really want to be close to wildlife. So that's going to involve hiking. The longest hike we did was up a volcano, about a 17-kilometer hike up and back, which was one of the highlights for me, because it just felt like this is brand new right now. It last erupted in 2005, and so there are just plants coming up. It does take, if you want to, you can kayak easily in some, if you've got a good guide to take you to some protected areas. If you're comfortable just doing a little easy kayaking, that's not difficult. Certainly walking around some of the they call it loberias, to see the sea lions. Sea lions are very accessible. Anyone can see them. So it doesn't take a great athleticism, but I think the enjoyment certainly increases if you're able to get in the water and do a little hiking.
So is it important to have a guide there, Kristen, would you say?
I think it's absolutely necessary. I don't think you can visit a lot of the places that we saw without a guide. And just in recent years, the parks have been regulating timing for some of the key sites. There's a famous snorkeling area that are split rocks. And, you know, it's very subtle. We didn't see a lot of groups, but I learned that we were on a timed basis. We were to be there within a certain hour.
Oh, okay.
So they are regulating the amount of visitors that way. There are only probably 450-900 passengers flying in per day to all of the Galapagos.
Oh, okay.
And they don't plan to increase that. There are really a lot of requirements that I didn't know about for residents, too. Because of the Ecuadorian economy, a lot of people tried to rush out to the Galapagos to take advantage of the tourism business, and they've put a stop to that. You have to show your Galapeño heritage in order to move there.
Okay. Now, you went with a group called Gala Kiwi Tours. That sounds like it's got a New Zealand connection.
It does. It's really a great organization. And yes, the owners are Tim and Crystal Cooney. Tim is a Kiwi. Their tagline is Galapagos Adventures Kiwi Spirit.
Right.
Crystal is American, lives in the state of Georgia. So they split their time between the Galapagos and Georgia. When they're in the Galapagos, they live there with their two daughters right above their shop where they start their tours. They know all their guides really well. And, of course, that's how we met Pablo.
Yeah, well, he sounds like a fascinating character, Pablo. So,
very well educated and very passionate about what he does. It was a treat.
Now, just quickly, what's the accommodation like and the food?
Well, the accommodations there were really perfectly great. We stayed in hotels of about a three-star nature throughout, all very comfortable. And in all cases, however, people should be aware that you don't drink the tap water there. You don't even brush your teeth with it. And that's sort of common knowledge. So you're in a precious island environment. The food in Ecuador, I've never been a fan of, but I was really surprised in several places. They're catching on. They're picking up their game. We had some excellent fish. Fish and coconut sauce is sort of a specialty of the area. It's hard to find wine. If you're a wine drinker, forget about it or you're going to be paying a lot. But they do now have a couple of their own artisanal beers. One is called Endemica, which I thought was pretty clever. cocktails are served.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've had a wonderful trip to the Galapagos. It's one of those places that I think many people have on their bucket list, A, because it's difficult to get to and it's less visited than a lot of other areas. So overall, you and Tom really enjoyed the trip by the sound of it.
We really did, and we were so happy that we came upon this type of tour that really took us to the four different islands, Cristobal, Floriana, which only has a population of 150, Isabela, and Santa Cruz, and got to spend time in each of them.
Well, Kristen Henning, great to hear from you again, and thanks for reporting in for Travel Writers Radio. Where are you off to next?
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, we're leaving Tuesday for a European visit. We'll be on the Rhine River, and I think we'll be sampling some Alsatian wines, if you'd like to hear about that.
Yeah.
Then we have a quick break to Berlin and Paris, and then we are bicycling around the back roads of Brittany in France.
Well, that sounds interesting, too. We'd love to hear about that. Well, thanks for chatting with us, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time.
Great. Sounds wonderful, Graham. Thank you.